Silas were having what most of us would call a really bad day. It started out well. They had healed a young woman of her mental instability, but that very act of healing infuriated the girl's owner, who made money by exhibiting her in her mental instability. He was so infuriated, he incited a crowd to fall upon Paul and Silas and start pummeling them. And authorities stepped in and hauled them before the court, and the court sentenced them to a scourging, to be beaten with rods. And after this merciless beating, they were commended to the jailer, who put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet with stocks, which was itself a form of torture because it spread their legs apart. And with aching muscles and bleeding backs and every nerve inflamed, exhausted, nevertheless, at midnight, at the end of a really, really bad day, Paul and Silas could be heard singing hymns unto God. And the scriptures say the other prisoners were listening to them sing because they had no choice. And suddenly, an earthquake rattles the region, shaking the foundation of the prison, breaking their bonds. And having been loosed from his fetters, Paul's first thought is not of freedom, but of the jailer whose life will be forfeit if the prisoners escape. Think of that. Here is someone who has helped torture you, and yet your first thought is of his welfare and not your own. And so he calls out to that jailer, "Do not harm yourself. Do not take your life. We are all here." And the jailer does three things. He calls for light that he may behold these people of peace and purpose. He falls down before them, trembling, and asks the greatest question one can ask: what must I do to be saved? And then he takes them into his home and washes their wounds. And they wash the wounds of his soul, as upon his profession of faith in Jesus Christ, they baptize him and all of his household. And this jailer knows peace at midnight. Paul wrote many things, but I suspect nothing comes closer to expressing the core of his faith than the words he wrote to Philippi when he said, "I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. In any and all circumstances, I am content. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." That is the testimony of someone who knows God's peace at midnight. No circumstance, no beating, no oppression, no persecution. Nothing the Romans can do, nothing the Philippians can do, can take that peace from him in the midst of his heart. He has known God's peace at midnight and knows that whatever happens, God's strength and God's love will support him and sustain him. Nothing can separate him from God's love in Jesus Christ. The question I pose to you this morning is, do you have that kind of peace at midnight. I mean, it's pretty easy to know God's peace when everything's going your way and the skies are clear and life is turning out just like you like it. But when adversity hits, when you find yourself rejected, when you find your ambitions frustrated, when you find your body betraying you, when you find yourself beset with pressures that seem overwhelming, do you have a peace? A peace in the midnight of your life that says, nothing can separate me from God's love. God's providence for me will be sufficient. Do you have a peace that allows you to be abased as well as abounding? Not without cause did Paul call this the secret. I have found the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. His secret is the key that unlocks God's presence in any and all circumstance. Do you really have God's peace in the midnight times of your life? The more I study the Bible, the more I am amazed at how little religion is in it. There's very little talk on the whole about rituals and rules. The Bible is primarily about relationships, vibrancy of relationship with God. Stammering, stuttering Moses hears a voice coming out of a burning bush and says to him, you go to Pharaoh and tell him the God whose name is I am who I am calls you to let my people go. Elijah, searching for God's presence in a difficult time, doesn't find God's voice in the rumbling earthquake or the rushing wind or the roaring fire. He finds it in the still, small voice of peace. The peace I'm talking about, my friends, is not some sort of ethereal concept. It is a power that strengthens you amidst your reality. I think of a man named Jeremiah Denton, a POW from Alabama, who was in the Hanoi Hilton for many years, subject to all kinds of atrocities. But he said at the moment when he began to break down physically and mentally, he threw himself upon the reality of God in absolute dependence. And his testimony was, I know you won't believe it, but even in that prison camp, I felt the peace of God. So that no matter what they were doing to me, I felt as if I was on my front porch in my rocking chair. Now that's a peace. A peace at midnight that's real and transforming. Do you have that kind of peace when life seems like an abyss, when your way seems uncertain, when you feel shackled and fettered by circumstances, when you're full of anxiety and fear? Do you have a peace that says God will provide for me and sustain me whatever the shackles are upon me? I can sing. I can give glory unto God in any and all circumstance, whether abased or abounding. Some years ago, I flipped on the television and saw one of my favorite baseball players at bat facing a very good pitcher who had a variety of pitches in his arsenal, but this batter kept fouling the pitches off no matter what they were until finally he got one he liked and he smashed it. That batter's name was Josh Hamilton. And he was a riches to rags to riches story. Drafted high in the draft because of his immense ability, he succumbed to drug and alcohol addiction, almost lost his life, almost lost his career, until at one point in his depths, he finally opened himself up to the power of God and felt the strength to live properly. And as I watched him foul pitch after pitch off, I thought, you know, it doesn't matter whether they throw him a curveball or a fastball or a slider. He knows he has the ability to handle it. Real peace at midnight allows us to be able to know, no matter what pitch life throws us, a fastball or a curveball or a slider or a knuckleball, God will give us the strength to handle it. So whatever comes, we can sing. Some years ago, I heard someone say, peace is not meant for these contemplative, quiet moments. It's meant to go with you into the game of life. It's meant to go with you and give you the ability to handle whatever pitch comes. And it's not meant to make you quiescent and complacent in the circumstances of life. It's meant to give you the strength to go disturb the world. The peace of God is meant to give you the strength to go disturb the world. Paul found the strength in that prison to change a man's life. Stammering, stuttering Moses found the strength to go challenge Pharaoh and be an agent of liberation. Elijah, amidst tumult and horror, found the strength to go challenge the tyranny of King Ahab. Jeremiah Denton, amidst the horror of the Hanoi Hilton, found the strength of God to sustain him in whatever might come his way. Martin Luther King, in a Montgomery kitchen, found the peace of God that allowed him to challenge the segregationist South. The peace of God is not meant to make us quiescent and complacent. It's meant to give us a strength that allows us to disturb the world in its injustice. Many of you probably don't know the man by the name of Sam Keen, but he is a very noted scholar. And when he was a young man, Sam Keen had three ambitions: graduate from an Ivy League institution, earn a PhD, and become a noted, recognized scholar around the world. He attained all three of those in about 20 years of work. But one night, having delivered a wonderful lecture to an erudite crowd, he came home to his hotel, and he felt empty and purposeless. And he fell on his knees, and he asked the question the jailer asked: what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And he said the truth of God came piercing into him, and the word was nothing. I give you salvation. All you have to do is receive it. You don't have to do anything. Just accept the peace and power I provide. And in that moment, Sam Keen said, an image came to my mind, the strange image of a man on an ox, riding an ox, looking for an ox. Sam Keen realized that image was his life. He was a man riding an ox, looking for an ox. All of his life he'd gone push, 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 achieve, achieve, achieve. When what he was really looking for was granted to him by God, all he had to do was accept it. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, but let not your hearts be troubled. I give it to you. My peace, a peace that passes all understanding, is yours. You don't have to do anything, just accept it. Longer than I want to admit, almost 40 years ago now, I made my first trip to the Holy Land with a group of seminarians and a select group of industrialists from across the country. And it was a full moon shining over the placid Sea of Galilee. And I was standing on a balcony overlooking this magnificent scene, and my roommate, who was a very noted Atlanta businessman who had traveled the world, an older man, came up beside me and he whispered these words, "You will be an old man before you see a night as beautiful as this again." And as I looked out and saw that radiant effulgence of that full moon illuminating that placid, magnificent Sea of Galilee, I could envision Jesus speaking to the friends with whom he fished and worked, "Peace I give you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace, but let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. I have overcome this world." Do you have peace at midnight? Has the light of Christ pierced you so that whatever your darkness, whatever the abyss, whatever your fear, whatever your burden, whatever your shackles, God has given you the ability to stay steadfast, whether abased or abounding, that you might sing. For if you can do that, then you have indeed discovered the secret of faith and a powerful witness. May we pray together. Lord, into the midnight of our lives, we struggle with darkness, we struggle with anxiety and fear. May your light pierce that darkness and give us the power to rejoice, knowing that nothing can separate us from your redemptive love. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen.